This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واذكر في الكتاب إبراهيم إنه كان صديقا نبيا إذ قال لأبيه يا أبت لم تعبد ما لا يسمع ولا يبصر ولا يغني عنك شيئا يا أبت إني قد جاءني من العلم ما لم يأتك فاتبعني أهدك صراطا سويا يا أبت لا تعبد الشيطان إن الشيطان كان للرحمن عصيا يا أبت إني أخاف أن يمسك عذاب من الرحمن فتكون للشيطان وليا قال أراغب أنت عن آلهتي يا إبراهيم لئن لم تنته لأرجمنك واهجرني مليا قال سلام عليك سأستغفر لك ربي إنه كان بي حفيا وأعتزلكم وما تدعون من دون الله وأدعو ربي عسى ألا أكون بدعاء ربي شقيا ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. So today I'm going to share with you some reflections from a passage that belongs to Surah Maryam. Surah Maryam is the 19th surah of the Quran. It opens with a conversation that builds up to the idea that Isa alayhi salam could not have been divine, that he was the product of a miracle from Allah Azza wa Jal, and that the people that have misused his story to commit shirk with Allah are wrong in what they have done. So by the time that progressive argument develops and gets to its conclusion, Allah Azza wa Jal then describes Judgment Day and how he's going to judge those that committed shirk with him. And right after that, Allah starts talking to us about Ibrahim alayhi salam. And there's a connection. The reason I told you about what's happening in Surah Maryam in the beginning, by the time we get to Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is ayah number 41, it's important because there's a connection being made by Allah Azza wa Jal. The Christian people are being implored that you are also tied to the legacy of your father Ibrahim alayhi salam. Just like the Jewish people were told that they are tied to the legacy of their father Ibrahim alayhi salam in Surah Al-Baqarah. And then again in Surah Ali Imran. Now the Christian people are being invited to go back to the original legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Anyhow, Allah Azza wa Jalla says about Ibrahim alayhi salam here, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Make mention from in the book of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Certainly he was someone who was truthful and a prophet. So we cannot abandon the legacy. Let's tie this to the Christian argument or the discourse that's happening with the Christian people. What Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, first of all, is you already know that he was truthful. And you already know that he was a prophet. And he never committed the shirk that you have. Because if Jesus is in fact the Son of God, and Jesus is in fact the Savior for all of humanity, then this is the greatest, most important belief. This piece of creed is the most important belief that should ever have been given to humanity, a way to save all of humanity from hellfire. Then how can you accept Ibrahim alayhi salam, which you know to be a prophet, which you know to be truthful, and never said a word about any of this? And none of the previous prophets from the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, because it starts with Ibrahim alayhi salam, none of the previous prophets ever say, you know, right now you guys are sinful, but eventually the Son of God is coming and all your sins will be cleansed. None of that ever happens. If he is in fact truthful, and he is in fact a prophet, then there has to be something wrong in your conclusion. Because either you have a
connect, or you have to reject Ibrahim alayhi salam. Those are the only choices you get. So وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقَ النَّبِيَّ إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِي لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. We're going back to him talking to his father, but last time I told you he started talking to his father and his entire nation, right? Now we're going to focus, Quran's going to help us focus on what exactly transpired between him and his dad, the specifics between him and his father. So he says, my father, when he said to his father, Ya Abati, my beloved father, the Ta in Arabic, you can add it to the, you know, certain words to add a dimension of love. So Atta huna tushir ila al-hub. So Ya Abati, my beloved father, dad, I love you, you're my dad. So the Quran is capturing a way that he was talking to his father. He wasn't aggressive, even though I've already established with you before, he hates shirk. Like he has this despise of it. But still, when he's going to talk to his father, he's going to talk lovingly. And this is the dichotomy we have to understand, the two opposing things we have to understand. We are so hard on what we believe. We're so stern and uncompromising in what we believe as Muslims. Yet at the same time, just because we are tough in what we believe doesn't mean we get to talk about it in a way that is tough. So even to his father who manufactures the idols, he's going to speak to him gently. His tone will not become aggressive, you see? So he actually is a balance of both of those things, especially in certain relationships where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. Don't even express your frustration to them. So we find in Ibrahim alayhi salam the balance of those things. How do you speak to a parent who's absolutely wrong? Who's absolutely wrong in what they're doing, in what they're saying, but they're still your parent. So you still have to love them, you still have to speak to them in respectful tone, but you still got to tell them the truth. And you still have to tell them they're wrong, right? So he's going to do his part and say, Ya Abati, lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u, wa la yubsiru, wa la yughni anka shay'a. Why do you worship something that doesn't listen, ma la yasma'u, and something that doesn't see, wa la yubsir, and it can't benefit you at all. These things can't do anything for you at all. Why are you worshiping these things? And this is him questioning what his dad is doing, and there's no response from his dad so far in these ayat. That could imply a few things. That could imply that before his dad could even answer, he continued talking. Or that his dad is just staring at him like, what did you just say? Like, you know, sometimes somebody's way of silencing you is not giving you an answer and just staring you down. Or just ignoring you entirely. Right? That's a non-response is also a response, right? It actually works up for a lot of people. Like, I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. And that's somebody's way, what they're trying to tell you. If you told somebody a legitimate criticism, or you asked a question and they didn't respond to you, they're trying to tell you a few things. One, they're telling you your question is so stupid, it's not even worthy of my response or attention. So I'm just going to pretend I didn't hear it, right? Or they're trying to tell you, don't push it, because I'm going to drop this subject. I'm not going to say anything to you. And if you push my buttons anymore, there's going to be trouble. So let's see if you want to, you know, step on this minefield any further. Want to click, you know, dig your heels in deeper, dig your hole even deeper. So this is a form of intimidation and dismissal at the same time. And that's what his dad perhaps has done. And now from there, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he could just say, dad didn't answer. That must mean that if I take a further step, things are going to escalate. So maybe I should back down. But we know Ibrahim alayhi salam by now, he's not about to back down. He's about to go a step further. And that step further is way more offensive than asking. The first question was, why do you worship something that can't hear, can't see, can't benefit you? Explain to me, why do you do that? Okay, that's critical. That's, you know, this father's going to see it as disrespectful. But the next one's like the nuke. He says, Ya Abati qad ja'ani min al-ilmi ma lam ya'tik. My beloved father, knowledge has definitely come to me that hasn't come to you. Fattabi'ni. So you should be obeying me. You should be following me. Ahdika siratan sawiya. I'm going to guide. When you follow me, then I'll be able to guide you to an even, straight, balanced path. You are on a crooked path, dad. And I know things, the knowledge has been given to me that you don't actually have. You don't know and I know. A son telling father, dad, you don't know, I know. And more importantly, it's not just that I know, you need to be following me. Therefore, follow me. I will guide you. Son telling father, I will guide you. Now, around the world, whether you're in, you know, a country like in the Philippines, or you're in Australia, or you're in America, anywhere, the kid comes to the dad and says, you don't know, I know. Follow me. I'll tell you what to do. You clearly don't know how to live your life. Let me guide you. What's going to happen next? Well, let me tell you, I could tell you with some degree of confidence what would happen in Pakistan. missing persons report, we don't have those. So I don't know what happened then. You know, I don't know if there's a cow getting slaughtered that Eid or a child. I don't know. But, I mean, that's some serious trouble. He's escalated things like exponentially by saying these words. But what is the guidance of Allah in these words? He's able to say, when it comes to matters of iman, this is not, dad, I know engineering, you don't. Dad, I understand business investments and you don't, follow me. Dad, I know what real estate better than you, listen to me. No, in all of those things, shut up and be humble. But when it comes to your deen, and it's a matter of shirk, then you know what? Then even though he's my dad and I love him, I'm going to have to say, knowledge has come to me that clearly you don't have. And out of love for you, I'm telling you, you need to listen to me. And you know these words have resonance because he doesn't do this with everything else. Please listen to what I'm saying. He's a respectful son in every other way, right? So when a son like that, that's always kind, obedient, respectful, in one thing, only in matter of belief, he comes out and says, you need to be following me, it actually has weight. But if you have the kind, if you're the kind of son that argues with your father over everything, right? Over everything. And then you want to argue about religion too, it has no weight. Because that's just your son being argumentative. Or that's just you being argumentative. That's not actually because this thing is substantive and it warrants me leaving my normal nature of being subservient and questioning you like that. So he's actually leaving his norm to do this. This is not his norm. And you can tell it's not his norm because it starts with Ya Abati. And again, when he says, أَهْدِكَ صِرَاطًا سَوِيًّا, I'll guide you then to an even straight path, as you know, bombshell as that was, apparently that's not enough. So he goes, Ya Abati, Dad, listen, I love you. There's more. What's he going to say next? By the way, what does the father worship? He worships those idols, right? Or what those idols represent. We talked about representations before. Look at what he says. Ya Abati, he could have said, La ta'bud al-asnam. He could have said, don't worship the idols. Right? He could have said that. He doesn't say that. He said, La ta'bud al-shaytan. Don't worship the devil. Don't worship the devil. You talk about escalation. He didn't just say, don't worship false gods. You think these idols represent some holy deity, some saint, some whatever superpower. Let me tell you what's behind this. What you think is behind this is made up. The reality behind this is there's one guy behind this. And that's who? Shaitan. You worshipping these idols is you worshipping Shaitan. لا تعبد الشيطان. إن الشيطان كان للرحمن عصيا. Certainly the Shaitan has always been disobedient when it comes to Ar-Rahman. It's so beautiful that Ibrahim alayhi salam incorporated the word Ar-Rahman in this ayah. Now the thing is, once you say don't worship Shaitan, you can imagine a number of continued statements. One continued statement would be, don't worship shaitan. Shaitan is an enemy for you. إِنَّ شَيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ أَوْ إِنَّ شَيْطَانَ لَكَ يَا أَبَتِي عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. You would expect that. That's not what he says. He's not talking about, oh, don't worship the devil. The devil's bad for you. That's not what he's saying. He's saying something else entirely. He's saying the devil is disobedient to Ar-Rahman. Now there's a few pieces there that we have to think about. First of all, he said, the thing that makes the devil is that he's disobedient. Don't worship the devil implies in it that don't disobey Allah. Because that's actual, the worship of shaitan is actually doing what shaitan does. And doing what shaitan wants instead of doing what Allah wants. That's actually what becomes worship of shaitan. This is why in Surah Yasin, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ وَأَنْ اِعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Didn't I tell you, children of Adam, don't worship shaitan? But people didn't worship shaitan. People worshiped gods, idols, prophets. People worshiped saints. People didn't worship shaitan. But you know what? There's the in technology terms, there's the skin of the app and there's the source code. The source code was always what? Shaitan. And so on that day, the skins, the facade is all removed, and the source, what you were actually worshiping, was the devil. That's been exposed on Judgment Day. Ibrahim alayhi salam sees through it and says, "La ta'budu shaitan." He tells his father, don't worship the devil. And the devil has been extremely disobedient to who? Not to Allah. He could have said Allah. Inna shaytana kana lillahi asiya. He said, inna shaytana kana lirrahmani asiya. He has been disobedient to Ar-Rahman, the extremely loving and caring one. Even in this warning, he's telling his father, Allah Azza wa Jal was so loving and caring, even to Iblis. And despite his love and care, Iblis disobeyed him. And you're following the same path, because the one who has provided for you and me, the one who cares for you and me, is the one you are disobeying when you're putting these idols together. So he's actually calling on the rahmah of Allah, not just the oneness of Allah, but the love and care of Allah as a reason to leave shirk. How can you do this to someone who loves you so much? You know, from an emotional, this is an argument against shirk from an emotional point of view. So I want you to understand what that means by way of example. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. For Allah is the highest example, but I want you to understand what it means to have shirk with love. Imagine, for example, that you wanted to do something special for your wife, guys. I know you don't, but still. Just imagine, use active imagination. You even cooked, and you cleaned up the house, and you said, go to your friend's house. And she doesn't know why you sent her there. She goes to her friend's house, and you clean up the house, you make dinner, you set up candlelight, the whole nine yards, and you got her a really beautiful present, right? And then she comes home, and she sees all of it. And then her friend calls at the same time, some other friend. And for the next 2 hours, she's like, oh my God, I love you. Thank you so much for calling. This is the greatest day of my life because you called. And it's not like she hasn't called her for 3 years. She called her yesterday. So you did all this for her, and her love and appreciation and admiration goes to somebody else, right? And how would that make you feel? Like, you'd want to like take those candles and set the house on fire, or start eating the food, or, you know, at least stick your finger in the soup as revenge without her seeing it. Something. You want to do something, because come on. How are you dismissing all this effort and you just ignore this is a human thing, right? It's a human feeling. But I'm giving you this example because human beings know what it is that someone, you give somebody love, you give someone care, and they respond with love and care towards somebody else entirely. How offensive that is. What a betrayal that is. Well, if you can understand, and I give you this example, somebody might say, Astaghfirullah, how are you giving an example that connects with Allah? Allah does this. This is the sunnah of Allah. Allah described people's loyalty, the horse's loyalty to the owner. The horse's loyalty to the owner. And then when he made that argument, and he said, by the way, you also have an owner, but you're not like your horse. You know, the horse goes into battle for you. He doesn't, anything you want, the horse marches to its death. You don't even do the simplest things for me. Right? So I'm giving you this example because when he called on Ar-Rahman and then said, Shaitan has been disobedient to Ar-Rahman, it's not like Allah was harsh with Iblis. Allah Azza wa Jalla had given maqam to Iblis. He'd given makana, he'd given station to Iblis. Why is it that Iblis even has the honor of being able to address Allah directly? Do all creations of Allah address Allah directly? No. He's been given a position where he can even do that. Is that a small thing to have? Is it possible for a jinn, when Allah gives angels the command, that a jinn has the honor, the care that Allah showed him, that he gets to hear the commandment that only is meant for the angels? Usjudu li Adam. He's been given a rank. Allah has given him rahmah. And despite all of that rahmah, he can be disobedient to Allah. So he's actually calling on that sentiment. And he's turning to us. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is turning to his father and saying, Allah is ar-Rahman to you. And if you can feel what Allah does for you, if you can just be mindful of how much love Allah gives you, how much care Allah gives you, then you wouldn't be disobeying Him like this. You wouldn't be redirecting this love, this admiration, this loyalty in any other direction. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ عَصِيًّا. I'm going to continue this passage, inshallah, in the subsequent sessions. A young man asked me today, so which prophet are we doing next? I was like, we're not doing any prophet. We're just going to stick with Ibrahim myself. Well, the whole month? Yep, the whole month. You know, we have this thing about we need variety. I'm not about to offer you no variety. We need to dive deep into our father Ibrahim as much as we can. We need to get as much from him as possible. Because this, I feel this is actually, even this month probably won't be enough, but it's a service that needs to be done. We need to connect back to some of our most fundamental teachings in this deen. And that starts, in my opinion, one of the starting points is in fact our connection to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.